Welcome to our city council meeting this evening. We'll have the invocation by one of my pastors, Ray O'Neill, of the Reed Lumenite Brethren Church. And following that, we'll have the Pledge of Allegiance by Councilman Beck. And would you all rise with me, please?
Thank you. It's a privilege to be here tonight, Mayor. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we invoke your presence here tonight. We thank you that you have brought us together. We thank you that you've called us as a community to be here tonight. I pray that you would give us a spirit of discernment, to listen carefully to each other, to discern issues that are before us, wisdom to know where we come out on those things, and then the courage to act. I pray in this season of elections and national elections and that you would guide us as a nation, you would protect us as a nation, you would give us leaders who will risk leading, who will step forward with strength and integrity. I pray that for tonight's meeting and for us as leaders in this community as well. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
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 Please join the city council in the pledge to our nation's flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have the roll call?
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Bettencourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Chavez?
Here.
Councilmember Salino?
Here.
Mayor Bass?
Here. We have a presentation this evening. This coming week is Fire Prevention Week. We have a proclamation by our chief.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, members of the council. Community members, in recognition of Fire Prevention Week, which begins October 7th and goes through the 13th, we do have a proclamation on the agenda tonight. And with me here tonight is our Fire Explorer Captain, Noelle Bernal, who will read it out loud.
Whereas the City of Reedley is committed to ensuring the safety and security of all those living in and visiting our community, and whereas fire is a serious public safety concern both locally and nationally, and homes are the locations where people are at greatest risk from fire. Whereas home fires killed more than 2,600 people in the United States in 2010, according to the latest research from the nonprofit National Fire Protection Association and fire departments in the United States, responded to more than 369,000 home fires. And whereas residents who have planned and practiced a home fire escape plan are more prepared and will therefore be more likely to survive a fire. And whereas only one-third of Americans have both developed and practiced a home fire escape plan. And whereas almost three-quarters of Americans do have an escape plan. However, less than half have actually practiced it. And whereas working smoke alarms cut the risk of dying in reported home fires in half. And whereas Reedley's first responders are dedicated to reducing the occurrence of home fires and home fire injuries through prevention and protection education. And whereas Reedley's residents are responsible to public education measures and are able to take personal steps to increase their safety from fire, especially in their homes. And whereas the Reedley Fire Department open house to be held on Thursday, October 11th, serves to reinforce and deliver the theme of Fire Prevention Week to the residents of Reedley. And whereas the 2012 Fire Prevention Week theme, Have Two Ways Out, effectively serves to remind us to develop and practice a home fire escape plans during Fire Prevention Week and year-round.
Therefore, I, Mary L. Fast, Mayor of the City of Reedley, and the Reedley City Council do hereby proclaim October 7th to 13th, 2012, as Fire Prevention Week in the City of Reedley, and I urge all the people of Reedley to practice their home fire escape plan during Fire Prevention Week 2012, and to support the many public safety activities and efforts of Reedley's Fire and Emergency Services, dated September 25th, 2012. I'd like to present this.
Thank you, Mayor.
I know all of you know this, but our Reedley Fire Department is a volunteer department, and they save our city millions of dollars every year because of their volunteerism. So we really support the Explorer program, bringing up new young people that are interested in becoming part of our team. So I thank you for being a leader of that group and look forward to seeing more of your group and your comrades. Public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the City Council on items of interest to the public within the Council's jurisdiction, and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is a policy of the Council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the City Manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the Council as each item is brought up for discussion. Is there any public comment this evening? Good evening, Dawn. Would you please state your name and address for our record?
Dawn Barcellus, 1892 North Thompson, here in Reedley. I'm coming to you, Council, as a businesswoman who would just like to say thank you. The Downtown Association hosted our Taste of the Town, and I want to say this had to be the best turnout and support that we've ever had. We had great weather, but it was really nice for people just to visit and go around, and just the support from the city as a whole for the businesses. We've already discussed the matter, and I just wanted to come and personally thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Hello, Donald.
Good evening, Mayor Fast and council members. Donald DeCamilla, 290 South Willow Glen Drive, Reedley, California. Just came here to share some wonderful news, if you haven't heard already, that and I'm coming here as a representative of the Reedley High School Pirate Band Boosters. But the Pirate Band this year is going to play at the Oakland Holiday Parade December 1st. Mm. And that's over 100,000 people that watch this parade. And then on December 2nd, the high school, for the first time, will play at an Oakland Raiders football game. Mm. And that football game on December 2nd is supposed to be nationally televised. Doubt they'll show the Pirate Band too much, but they're going to play the Star Spangled Banner, and they're also going to do a pregame show, and then be allowed to enjoy the rest of the game during that after they finish and get off the field. And so they've been practicing quite a bit. We have, I guess, a large flag that was donated years ago that several volunteers from the Boosters are going to unveil out on the field amongst the band. Mm. And so knowing how much pride we have with the band and the high school and all the community support that we've had in the past, it's been wonderful. So I've got two kids in high school right now, and they're both in the band, and they're having a lot of fun. So the second part of why I'm up here is to beg for money. Is that this trip is extremely expensive. The Raider organization is great, but we still have to buy our own tickets for all the band members, as well as the chaperones and the hotel and maybe 9-10 charter buses. It's a huge extra cost beyond our normal expenditures. And so the boosters, which actually is who funds these trips, we're looking for some sponsors. I know you can't act on anything right now, but I do have copies of a letter. And it's a sponsorship letter. It's not really as much you're going to get great advertisement out of it, but as much a support of the high school band and the community and the kids especially. So we'll make some banners. We'll probably do an ad in local paper or maybe a magazine, and then display those probably on the truck that goes down during the fire truck that goes down the parade route during Fiesta, as well as other parades. So, if you can consider that with city manager Zayeba, that'd be fantastic. And then another thing, too, I know there's a lot of people asking about the Raider game itself. They're playing the Cleveland Browns, and so we've got some other flyers, and I'll pass those also. And anyone in the audience who wants some flyers for tickets, that's what these are. But we're getting a discount, and the Raider organization is also kicking back some of that money that they make off these tickets that we sell back to the boosters. Mm-hmm. And so that will help offset some of the cost. Mm-hmm. So if you do want to buy some tickets, you can either go to the RHS Band Boosters website. I've got some flyers here. If you're a 49er fan, sorry. But I'll leave some of these here for others. And I may as well just pass. Go ahead and pass it if you're interested. If you do buy tickets online, you can go to the Band Boosters website, and there's a link to that. But when you do go online and you decide to buy your tickets that way, you type in a code, and that is, the code is Readly. And then that's how they know that the tickets that you're buying will have a percentage go back to the band. Hmm. The other way to buy it is you fill out the bottom, you turn it in, you send it in, and then you'll get tickets that are available for you for pickup on November 15th. Again, so two options on getting tickets. So if there's any questions, entertain them. If not, thank you very much.
Are there any fundraisers that you're having, like at the Fiesta or in the next couple of weeks?
We're trying to set something up with Ruiz Foods, trying some other fundraising activities also, okay, with the sponsorship. And there's also sponsor band member that we do every year. And there's also in October, Readly Exponent. If you buy a subscription or renew your subscription in October, Jody, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the band will get a percentage of that back also. So we're hoping to do that.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
That's an exciting time for high school kids. I remember being a part of that many years ago. It's fun. Is there any other public comment this evening? Seeing none, we'll move on. The consent agenda items are considered routine in nature and voted upon as one item. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any council member may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and/or change the recommended course of action, and the council can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoption of ordinances, only those that have received a unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. Would any council member like to remove an item from our consent agenda?
I'll make the motion to accept.
Second.
Would anyone from the public like to remove any item on the consent agenda for further discussion? Seeing none, there's been a motion and a second. A call for the question.
Councilmember Chavez.
Yes.
Councilmember Beck.
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Yes.
Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
Mayor Bass.
Yes. Item 7 has a couple of items with it, and it's to adopt resolution number 2012-075, revising the salary and benefits schedule for the management, confidential, and professional technical employees, aka the unrepresented group, for the cash in lieu of benefits options. And then we have a B and C side letter as well, and I'll let Mr. Malikian go in a little more detail on that.
Good evening, Council. Tonight, the item before you is a request to amend the salary and benefit schedule for the unrepresented employees, as well as adopt two side letters with the city's two bargaining groups. And all three documents are requested to be revised to basically implement a cash in lieu of city benefits program that will allow full-time employees to opt out of city-provided medical, dental, and vision coverage in exchange for a monthly in-lieu payment. Staff is proposing to implement a widely used and successful method of reducing employer benefit costs known as a cash in lieu of city benefits program, excuse me, where full-time employees may choose on an annual basis to opt out of city-provided medical, dental, or vision coverage in exchange for a monthly in lieu payment. The monthly in lieu payments would be fixed at $300 for medical, $40 for dental, and $10 for vision coverage, for a total of a maximum $350 per month in lieu payment if all three city benefits are waived. Employees would need to provide proof of other medical, dental, or vision coverage in order to be eligible for the program, and at no time will the city allow someone to opt out of city-provided benefits if they do not have other coverage. Based on medical premiums going to effect January 1st, the lowest premium the city will contribute for someone to opt, based on premiums going to effect January 1st, the lowest premium the city will contribute for someone eligible to opt out of a city medical plan would be $892 per month for a per select PPO plan. However, the upper range of the city contribution is $1,519 a month for a 3-plus enrollee plan. For every person that opts out of coverage, the city will receive the benefit of the difference between the premium amount that would have been paid on the employee's behalf and the monthly in-lieu payment. So depending on the employee's medical plan in place at the time of opt-out, the city would save between $655 to $1,281 per month, or $7,866 per year, up to a maximum of $15,380 per year per employee, assuming medical, dental, and vision benefits are waived. These savings are net of the in-lieu payments to the employees in the program. Using a rounded average of the city contribution of $1,300 per month, that's based on an average. So the contribution for some employees might be lower if they're a single or a two-party, and then it could be higher if it's a three-party plan or a four-party plan, that sort of thing. But the average is about $1,300 per month. If just five employees were to take advantage of the program, the net savings to the city would be $4,750 per month, or $57,000 annually. This program, as I said, is widely used throughout California. I spoke with two different cities that have successfully used this program for many years, and one of the cities has about 10% of the total workforce in the program. So it's really a good thing, because if the employee is fortunate enough to have dual coverage, they can opt out, and they do get a monthly cash in lieu payment, which is sort of an incentive to opt out, because the city can't force an employee to opt out of coverage. So it's sort of a win-win, and there is no threshold here, so we don't need a certain number of employees to enroll in the program for it to be cost-effective. If even one employee were to enroll in the program, the city would save $7,000 or $8,000 a year minimum. So We were talking a couple weeks ago, and this was an idea that came out of the Healthcare Committee, which is a newly formed kind of a cross-functional committee in the city that has a city manager, myself, our payroll and accounts payable person, and representatives from the city's bargaining groups. This is one of the ideas that came out of meeting a couple weeks ago. So we got to talking about why couldn't we just roll this out now, because we are in the open enrollment period, so everybody's kind of thinking about their medical plans anyway. So it's just one more option for the employees to have. And I'm not anticipating a huge number of employees to enroll the first year, but I think as time goes on, if the economy improves and more folks are getting back to work and that sort of thing, then perhaps down the road, you know, we'll have 10 or 15 folks that are in the program. So anyway, I would entertain any questions at this time, please.
Are there any questions of our council?
Ms. Malikian, does this have anything to do with employees maybe wanting to keep a little more funds in their pocket? Is that any advantage to them at all?
Yes, this does have, it's sort of a win-win for both sides in that the city would receive the savings from not making the full premium on the medical vision or dental plan, but so a portion of those savings would actually go back to the employee, but the net effect is still very positive for the city's financials.
If they opt out, they can't come back into the program.
Oh, absolutely. PERS, our PERS medical does allow for re-enrollment if there's a change in economic status, such as a loss of coverage. If the spouse were to lose their job, they could re-enroll as long as they told us within 30 days of the loss of coverage. There are a few other stipulations that have to be could also allow that person to re-enroll. And we are just offering this on an annual basis. So for whatever reason, in a couple years, we find that it's maybe just not working out. I highly doubt it. A lot of other cities have had positive results here. So it's just a year-to-year program.
Okay. Thank you.
Any cities in Fresno County?
I didn't really look in Fresno County. I know that Fresno County has or had a program like this in place. I know Chowchilla has something like this in place as well, but I didn't specifically look within Fresno County. I just kind of looked at the whole state. So.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like a good deal for the city, but as an employee, I would be a little bit hesitant to drop my medical plan unless I had something good or better.
You know, right.
$350 isn't going to buy much health insurance.
Right. And that's why it is a requirement that you show proof that you have alternative coverage in the program. And for those families who don't anticipate using their medical plan, if they're not really using it that much anyway, if they're fortunate enough not to, then it really is financially, it's the employee could be better off by being in the program. So,
do we have husband, wives as employees here that are, you know, the one that would be a benefit, I think, but other than that,
You know, that's a good question. I don't know about husband and wife teams here. Yeah. We do know of plenty of our employees who have spouses who work who are also covered with medical benefits, and those families will have to determine who has the better coverage. You know, at one time, it was of great benefit if you had dual coverage, because what one insurance company wouldn't cover, the other would, and so by having double coverage, you really benefited. The laws have changed over time, and so double coverage really doesn't do much anymore for families. So I do think this is a win-win. There's really no negative, particularly because if, in fact, they lose coverage in that other job, that other position, they can always come back into this plan. And we've also written language into this that allows us to terminate this program if, for some reason, let's say we get away from CalPERS and the rates get so much better, you know, perfect world, we could end up terminating this program. So we've written a lot of flexibility into this program.
Just to go back to the husband and wife example, if we had that situation, are we paying full premiums for each one of them, or does the insurance company give us any kind of break in those situations?
No.
So we're paying Wow.
Yeah, and we can't, you know, we can't force employees to not take the insurance. You know, that's not something we're doing.
No, I wasn't going.
Right.
Just,
yeah.
I just thought that if, you know, you have a situation where you have family members, that they would, you know, certainly there's no advantage to double coverage now.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't they give us at least some break, you know, in those situations?
Right.
There would
and
be
and
some
this
savings there.
And this is under our current situation with PERS Medical. If the city were to ever move to a different medical plan, that might be something that we could talk about as we're looking at the plans. And I'm not sure if we have any married employees right now. Do we?
No, it doesn't. No, we don't have any husband and
wife
because
yeah.
Isn't it nepotism? Is that what it's called?
Well, if they're in separate departments and they don't report to each other.
Yeah, as long as they're not reporting to one yeah. another, hired one another.
If they get married after they're employed, there's nothing right. to do about that.
Nothing it does happen.
I know when my husband was working for the city, I was on the council and we get a stipend for that, but I never used it because the city had good insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I never used it.
Right.
Now that he's retired, I don't have anything because I only work part-time at the school. So I use that just to pay for whatever that the CalPERS that he has through retirement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what in doing a little bit of research on the topic, what has started to happen in those areas that this is a very common thing, like in the Bay Area or, you know, Southern California, where this has been, they've been doing this for 10 or 15 years. They have kind of where there's a lot of shared of employees, where the school and the city, mm-hmm. they'll sort of get into a bidding war because the cost benefits are so huge that they start raising it up every year to entice each one to try to get it, you know, to opt out. So, you know, we're nowhere near that right now, but it's proven to be very effective. So,
I think it's a good idea, and if there are even a few, it would be a way for us as a city to save money and for that employee to also have a little bit of extra to pay for medical, you know, co-pays and all those other things
right.
that we end up as employees having to pay for. So I would just like to encourage your group, your health care committee, to continue working. And, you know, there's a lot of little ways that we can save mm-hmm. in that field.
Right. Yeah, we're also looking at, through the open enrollment process, some of the plans have the exact same levels of coverage but a smaller provider network. So we're sort of trying to do as much kind of education of our employees as possible, that if their doctors are in that smaller network, that it, you know, is better financially for them and the city if they switch to that smaller network plan, as long as their doctors are within the plan. So we're just doing little things mm-hmm. to try mm-hmm. to, yeah.
Great. Any other comments from our council on this issue? Any comments from the public on this issue? Any comments? Staff there? No? Okay.
Okay.
What is the council's pleasure?
Move to adopt resolution 2012-075, revising the salary and benefit schedule.
Second. Do we need to do these separately, City Manager?
If the maker of the motion can also include item B and C, no, you can do it under one vote.
Would like to include those other two.
Thank you.
Okay.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Chavez?
Yes.
Mayor Fast?
Yes. Item 8 is to adopt resolution number 2012-076, authorizing the submittal of a community block grant application for program year 2013-14. Mr. Martinez, welcome.
Thank you. Good evening, first of all, Mayor, and the rest of City Council members. First of all, I would like to make a clarification on this item. Just to note that we're actually talking about year two, or this CDBG project in consideration tonight is actually year two of our current 3-year CDBG plan. So That correspondingly changes the resolution. As far as the references to year three, it should be instead year two. It's our year two project. Also, one other change we need to make to the resolution is I added another whereas that clarifies a little further the year two designation.
Okay. Back up a minute. Okay, so we're looking at 1, 2, 3, the fourth paragraph on the resolution itself. Is that what you're wanting to change?
You're actually looking at 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Yeah, all references to year three should be year two. And there's only references to year three on the resolution.
Oh, year two. Okay, year two. So it's a three-year plan.
Yeah.
So that first number, the fourth one is okay, but the fifth one is two. Year
yes.
Year two of three. Okay.
That's correct.
Okay, and the next one is two. And
there's
the next
four of
one
them
is
then,
two.
Huh?
Okay.
Sorry
one,
about
two,
that.
One, two, three. No, there's three. Because the first
three.
One is a three-year plan.
Oh, a three-year plan.
Yeah, it's a three-year plan, okay. But we're in year two of it. Right?
Right. Yes.
Yes.
Correct. Okay.
Can I borrow the resolution, the revised one? And in addition to changing those references, I mentioned earlier, I added another whereas as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So as the fifth paragraph now, it reads, whereas the city of Reedley is currently on year two of the current three-year CDBG plan, with set year two project corresponding with the CDBG program year 2013-2014 funding cycle. So it's basically just saying that year two of our current three-year CDBG plan corresponds to the county's program year 2013-2014 funding cycle.
Do we got a time limit on this? I'm just wondering
yes.
if we should get a clean...
We have...
Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, we have to submit this application to the county next week.
Okay. Take care of it tonight.
Okay, are there any other questions from our council on this issue while Sylvia's getting that ready?
Yeah, I have a question here. Ms.
Sure.
Martinez, now when this three-year plan was established, was it a three-year plan for all street work? And then you came back on the third year to do the early in Button Willow?
When we approved the current three-year CDBG plan, which was back last year in 2011,
uh-huh.
It included fiscal years 12-13, 13-14, and 14-15. 12-13, fiscal year 12-13 corresponds to the slurry seal project that we're going to be doing after this one, once we're completed. So it's basically a continuation of the current seal project that we have going on right now. So that one is online to go out to be completed early next year. So that's 2012-2013. Right now, this project that is in consideration tonight is for 2013-2014, which is year two. Then for our fiscal year 2014-2015, we're going to be doing the third year of our current CDBG plan, which consists of sidewalks and ramps improvements over at the northeast area of the CDBG area, north of Manning Avenue. So we're in year two of the current three-year plan.
Okay, my understanding is that we saved some money from our projects because they came in lower than the regular bid. So we're kind of pushing up the projects. Is that correct?
We are realizing some savings, but not significant enough to add additional improvements or push back the project. Basically, we're moving forward and just carrying over little by little on our savings to hopefully at the end cash in more significantly with all those savings that we're realizing right now with our projects. But right now, as far as I'm concerned, we're we're on track with our current three-year plan, which tonight is year two. Then year three, we're going to come back next year for year three, which is going to be the sidewalks and the ramps improvements on the northeast area of the CDBG eligible area, which is north of Manning.
But the first phase and second phase did not cover all streets that need to be redone by the story. Is that right?
Yeah. If we go back to the previous CDBG plan that we had in place, it was actually a five-year that we had in place that expired last fiscal year. We had identified various street improvements, including AC overlays, including the slurry seals that we're currently finishing up right now, and we could not get to all of them. So, yeah, you're correct that we could not get to all of them due to the funding.
And the only reason I'm asking the question is because people are seeing that, you know, streets are being done, and they really appreciate what mm-hmm. what's being done, and they really appreciate what the city's doing for them. But then there's other individuals that are asking, when is my street going to be done?
Yes.
And, you know, I had asked before, I said, could I have a list of the streets that we're doing in phases?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still waiting for that. And if I could get a list of the streets that are not going to be done after phase two, so that I can answer questions.
Okay, so this is what we'll do. We'll go back to the previous CDBG plan, which expired in 2011-2012, and we'll identify the streets that did not get completed and that subsequently did not get selected for this current year plan, and give you a comprehensive list of all those streets that are indeed need repairs, but we can't get to it because the funding is not there at this point.
Yeah, I think the council would appreciate if we get that information in case the public asks us mm-hmm. about the streets that aren't going to be done if it reflects to them.
Understood. So.
And just as a reminder to council, the CDBG funds can only be used for CDBG areas, so there will
right.
be some streets that fall outside of that CDBG area anyways.
And that we can explain to them if they ask a question, because they don't fall into that program.
Right.
Right. All right. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So continuing with my staff report for tonight, with this item, staff recommends that council conduct a public hearing to consider a project that could be financed with the city's allocation from program year 2013-2014 of the Community Development Block Grant, also known as the CDBG grant. After considering all testimony, adopt resolution number 2012-076, nominating and approving the project described in the City of Reedley's CDBG 2013-2014 funding application. Just to give you a little background on this project, like I mentioned earlier, this is the second project of the City of Reedley current three-year CDBG plan. This project consists of street improvements at the intersection of Button Willow and Early Avenue, and include extending the pavement to the standard street alignment and installing sidewalks along the west side of Button Willow Avenue between Duft and Early Avenue. This meeting is a public hearing where the community has an opportunity to voice their opinion for consideration on the approval of projects being funded with the CDBG program. Resolution number 2012-076 designates this mentioned improvements, which are also going to be known as CDBG project number 13571, Reedley City Street Improvements, as the 2013-2014 CDBG project. The resolution also authorizes the city engineer to submit the CDBG 13571 Reedley City Street Improvements Project application to Fresno County for CDBG funding in program year 2013-2014. Just to note that the Community Development Block Grant would fully fund this proposed CDBG project, and therefore no local match would be required. With that, I conclude my report.
I just wanted to say I'm glad that you're going to fix that part of the street. A lot of the people and the families, they walk because they don't have transportation, so they use that to walk to Rite Aid, Save Mart. and the road is real bad. It just falls over after the pavement there, and they're there with their strollers, and at night it's really dangerous because the cars just go by so fast there. So it's really going to be a good safety issue, you know, safe for our pedestrians to walk there. And it cleans that up, too, also.
Is the lighting there, that will be city lighting, that will be city-owned?
Yes.
I know you're only putting two in there, but is that entire length of that side of the street, is that city lighting, or is that a combination of PG&E and city?
Russ? Yeah, it's not city-owned.
Okay.
But the west side is? As far as, okay, let me rephrase that. The west side is as far as the street part, but the lighting is not. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's my understanding that with new projects, we have the option to make it either city-owned or PG&E.
Yes, so that's what I'm saying. You're going to take that into city-owned lighting at that location?
We'll take that. Yeah, we'll consider that.
Okay. Thank you for your report to clarify this. Are there any other comments from our council on this issue? This is a public hearing this evening, so I'd like to open up the public hearing. Is there any of the public that would like to comment on this street project? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing. What is the council's pleasure?
I make a motion we approve resolution 2012-076.
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Chavez?
Yes.
Councilmember Bettencourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Bass?
Yes. Item 9. Consider the requests for the County Measure B Committee to approve a resolution for support of Measure B, the November ballot measure extending the Fresno County Library bond. City Manager?
Yes, Madam Mayor, members of council. We did receive a request from the Library Bond Committee requesting that the city approve a resolution of support for Measure B. You may know Measure B as the existing county library bond. It's a 1/8 cent sales tax. It provides about 54% of the library's annual operating budget. So it is a substantial portion of the library's budget. We do have a library here in Reedley that is well used, and so Measure B does help support that library. The committee did request that we consider this resolution. I believe we have some members of the public that wanted to speak to this. There is no direct fiscal impact to this city for approving or not approving this resolution. It is merely a sign of organizational support. So.
Good evening. Could I have your name and address for our record, please?
Yes, you may. I'm Linda Gleason. I'm here representing the Children's Movement. My address is 630 East Home Avenue in Fresno. And I'm here on behalf of the children of Fresno County. The Children's Movement is a relatively new effort throughout Fresno County. We're building an army of people who are in support of making children the number one priority in our county in all decisions. We focus our energy on the health and well-being of the children. And we have a couple of key focus areas that we are where we tend to focus in on the most with regard to literacy in particular. One area is our children, having our children read proficiently by third grade. You may know that if a child isn't reading proficiently by third grade, they are behind in fourth grade because in school, you are no longer learning to read. You are reading to learn when you get into fourth grade. And in Fresno County, we have 55% of our children who are not reading at grade level. And these children are 4 times more likely to drop out of school. In addition, we have only 42% of our children in preschool. And we know that there are significant economic impacts if children have a preschool experience, and that the rate of return on early investment is significant. So we stand together in a variety of settings and are just happy to be here tonight on behalf of our library. congratulations to you as a city. Congratulations to our county for the job that they've done, you all have done, with the very real small amount of tax, 1/8 of a cent, that we've been working with over the last 13 years. We've been going around to every city in the county. We've had times like these with the city council members in the different, the 15 cities across the county, and are hearing a lot about how the different counties, especially the rural communities, absolutely can't live without their library. Mm-hmm. So we're here tonight just to introduce ourselves really to you and to our work, the thrust of our work, and stand here together with the Friends of the Library and just encourage you and thank you for supporting the Renew Measure B effort.
Thank you for your comments. Good evening.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and Council Members. My name is Jim Leash. I live here in Reedley at 1984 North Thompson Avenue, and I'm here representing the Friends of the Reedley Library, of which I am currently the chair. We come to you asking for this resolution to help us support Measure B. It is an existing measure which we are asking just to continue. We're not asking for any new taxes. We're asking for a continuance. And you can see by what Linda said that 54% of the budget of the libraries depends upon this measure, which means that if we don't pass this measure, some places are going to close. And our library will be affected because of the hours that will be reduced. So this supports our librarians. It supports the wonderful programs that we have at the library, the afternoons that are spent with kids coming in and keeping them off the streets, keeping idle hands away from gang members and things like that. This has the advantage of helping the libraries to invest in further helping the kids to be educated. And that's what it's all about. So I come to you asking for a resolution in support of Measure B, and hope that you will get out the word to your friends and maybe even put up a sign in your yard that say we support Measure B. Thank you.
Where could we get those signs?
You can get one from me. I have some out in my car right now. I can accommodate you, or you can contact me personally. I will be happy to see that you get a sign in your yard.
Great. Okay. We'll see you after the
question.
Meeting.
When does this... How often does this measure be sunset?
Pardon?
How often does it sunset?
I think the last time we voted on this was 2002.
Every 10 years.
10 years.
Every 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good question.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Good evening.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, my name's Theodore Tartaglia. I reside at 947 West. I'm here to support the resolution, or the resolution for supporting Measure B. One of the things I'd like to point out is I'm not sure that all of you are aware of all the things our library does. One of the things, they provide computers for a lot of people to use. They're expanding that program right now. The other thing is that they're kind of tied up with a group of libraries throughout the San Joaquin Valley. You don't even have to go to the library. You can go on your computer, look up a book from one of, I don't know how many libraries, 35, 40, 50, mm-hmm. have it delivered to the Reedley Library. They do mention that sometimes there's a fee. I've never paid one, as long as you return the book, video, whatever, on time. And they have videos, CDs, books, all kinds of electronic referencing material. The library also offers databases and things. And I was also involved in a project a few years ago. They were talking about youth and reading. There's a couple of groups in Fresno that sell books at reduced rates to the various schools, teachers, whoever wishes to purchase them. One of the schools, I think it was TL, or the new school out on Buttonwillow, was involved, Silas Barch, and one of the other ones in Reedley. They took home a pickup load full of books to give to kids. And various studies have proven that by giving a kid a book where he actually owns a book, enhances their pride in learning to read, and they develop into a lot better readers and better students, better citizens, right on down the line. So I would urge you to support Measure B, especially since it costs no money. It provides a valuable service to the community, and I think it'll benefit all of us and help prepare our leaders for the future. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Ted. I'm glad you brought up the part about the computer access and the internet access, because that's, to me, that's really important. I was just talking to a family the other night that doesn't have a computer and internet access at home, and they use the library a lot for that type of service. And unless that was available, those children would not have that access after school hours. And I personally think that the library is just a special place to me. When I was a little kid, there were six of us in our family, and my parents didn't have money to buy a lot of things, but they would take us to the library or dump us off at the library, and we probably caused some trouble with the poor librarians trying to keep us quiet. But it was invaluable, because it helped us to learn. And you could find out about all kinds of things at the library. And now there's CDs, there's cassettes, if you still have a cassette player. There's DVDs for movies and all kinds of options that you can delve into if you so choose. And I support also the San Joaquin Valley Library System, which is the interlibrary for I think there's 7 or 8 county area in our valley that work together to provide, special project books for our whole area. So it's really an interconnective way of sharing, just like, the school district shares with our city on many facilities, and this is another way that we can share. And I think this is a very important project that we need to keep going forward, and it will keep the sales tax an 8% where it is now, but it will not increase that. And so I'm very much in favor of this. Are there any other comments from our council? Any other comments from our public on this issue? Seeing none, would you like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to support the resolution of support for Measure B.
I'll second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Chavez?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Fass?
Yes. Item 10 is a presentation on the new statewide cable television franchise in Reedley. City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor, members of council. It's a bit more comfortable for me to make a longer presentation to you here where I can look you in the face. In fact, we did want to provide a workshop for you today on the new statewide cable franchise. Actually, the cable franchise is not new, but it is new to Reedley. Reedley's been operating under a separate franchise agreement with Comcast, our cable provider. That franchise agreement expired just a week or two ago, and we have now been grandfathered into the statewide cable franchise agreement. Back in 2006, the state legislature passed what's called the Digital Infrastructure and Video Competition Act of 2006, went into effect in 2007. What the state discovered was that each individual city had separate Comcast or separate cable franchise agreements. Some were very complex. Some were very simplistic. Rural areas generally didn't have the ability to negotiate these complex agreements that urban areas were getting, so rural cable subscribers were missing out on things that the urban cable subscribers were getting. And so the state CPUC took over all of the cable franchises and created this one singular statewide franchise agreement. So that law, that DIVCA, said that as franchises expired throughout the state, those would be folded into the new law. Our franchise agreement was already in existence. It had been in existence since about 95. It just, as I mentioned, expired a week or two ago, so we are now under the statewide franchise agreement. So what does this mean for Reedley? Not a whole lot, because our franchise agreement already called for a 5% franchise fee from a cable provider. The statewide franchise agreement, or franchise law, calls for a 5% franchise fee. So the franchise fee we receive from the cable provider will stay exactly the same, 5%. Some cities, they now are getting more franchise fee because they had a lesser franchise fee. Some cities are getting less. So we will stay just about equal. It's roughly about $100,000 to $120,000 a year that we receive in a franchise fee, and that goes into our general fund. Now, the thing that changes for us with DIVCA is that it does allow us to access an additional 1% franchise fee for what's known as the PEG channels. And the PEG is an acronym standing, it's Public Education Government. Those are what's known as public access channels. So under this law, the cable providers have to open up public channels to folks so that they can have access to cable. Now, I do want to make a distinction. PEG channels are only on cable. They are not on satellite. So if you're a DirecTV subscriber or a DISH subscriber, you don't see PEG channels. So those of us who live in the country who don't have cable access at all don't have any PEG channels.